Happy day. I'm Liza, your healing mentor. I used to say, all I need in life is for my kids to be happy and healthy. The problem is they weren't happy and they weren't healthy. Both my kids had anxiety, depression, and even Lyme disease. Then one day my daughter told her therapist, what would make me happy is if my mom was happy. So I went on a journey to find my own personal happiness. When I finally became happy, my kids accelerated in their own healing journey. Now I share my stories, my mindset, and inspirational mothers with you. Let's heal one story at a time. Happy day. Welcome to Very Happy Stories. So there is this thing about having teenagers or young adults that have chronic illness or mental health issues that we don't really talk about as moms. And that is this anxiety that we might feel about our child being left behind on those big milestones. Is my kid going to go graduate? Is my kid going to get a license? Is my kid going to go to college? Or are they going to be left behind? It's like a secret worry that we don't really talk about. My guest today, Jessica Schneider, did not worry about this stuff at all. Or at least she doesn't seem like she did. When her young adult teenager was really going through the thick of treatment, she really gave her daughter Grace the opportunity to do whatever she needed to do. If she needed to lighten her class load, she did that. She really gave her daughter the space and the permission to heal. And I love that. And I think we could all learn so much from that. Jessica Schneider is the founder of Partner in Lyme, a nonprofit organization that provides gifts and grants to people who are in Lyme treatment. She's amazing. Most of the time, this journey is going to create a lot of tension and division within families because it's that stressful, but not in Jessica's case. Her relationship with her daughter, Grace, strengthened. They became closer, and she really taught her daughter firsthand how to empower yourself. So I can't wait to share this with you. This is Jessica's Very Happy Story. Happy day. Welcome, Jessica, to Very Happy Stories.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you here. Do you know, Jessica, that we have known each other now for 2 years?
Isn't that crazy?
It goes by so fast. And like when I think back to when we first connected, wow, have things changed in 2 years?
In so many ways, not just the ways that everyone thinks of, and just so many other ways too. And I'm so grateful for having social media and having these different platforms to develop relationships over the past 2 years, because we lost so many in-person opportunities to connect. And having the opportunity to connect with other moms and families virtually was a lifesaver for me, at least, to get through what we had to get through.
Me too. I could not agree more. And there was such an acceleration in my own learning curve in this world of Lyme and wellness and healing. And I think that that acceleration for me, so much of it was led by social media and just connecting to the right people that you needed to have in your life at that point. So yeah, I can't agree more. I love your story. I can't wait to learn more of your story. Of course, I know more than others and little bits here and there because I follow you. But tell us a bit more about your story and your journey.
We came to the Lyme world, not by choice, as none of us wish to have this enter our lives. But my younger daughter, Grace, was diagnosed in 2018 after about a year and a half and about 10 plus doctor's visits of just looking for answers and seeking information and trying to figure out why she was as sick as she was. And when we finally got the Lyme diagnosis, that began a journey that my family was not prepared for or expecting. I thought that I went into this knowing a lot about health and wellness, And it turns out I was woefully uneducated about the intricacies of Lyme and the complexities and the politics of Lyme. So trying to navigate my way through that led me to some very interesting places. So not only was I advocating on her behalf because she was too sick, even though she was 18 at the time, she was too sick to advocate for herself. So I was very much involved as a mother, caregiver, patient advocate. I went with her to all of her appointments. I took notes. I managed her treatment protocols. I learned everything. I learned what different supplements were for. I learned the side effects of pharmaceuticals. I learned what to be on the lookout for. We were constantly switching and trying to find something that would stick and that her body wouldn't reject. So we really went on this journey side by side, and it brought us closer than we already were. It really solidified my own belief in really going to bat for your kids and really being that person that has to speak when they can't, to be their voice and challenge doctors when they need to be challenged and to come alongside them when they're really acting as a partner to us. But it was a personal growth journey for myself alongside her journey to health. So we walked that together, and it was a special time because she wasn't a child. You know, she was 18, 19, 20 years old. You know, we were really in that as a unique relationship, because young adult children, it's a whole different dynamic than when you're doing that with, you know, a young child that doesn't have their own voice and doesn't necessarily have their own opinions. She had opinions and I had to listen to them. And that's when we really had to sit down and say, hey, what's working? What's not working? What changes do you want to make? What direction do you want to go in? And that's what we did. We finally found a protocol that worked for her. And just when we thought we were in a good place, we all got COVID and we had to pivot. So our stories is a complicated one. So I figured maybe we would break it apart piece by piece.
Yeah. Well, tell me real quick, because this is so interesting. You know, my kids were younger than your daughter when they kind of started falling apart in their illness. And then we waited much longer before treatment. So I was working with a different age group than you, but I could see there just being a really interesting balancing act in working with, you know, a young adult that's really an adult, but, you know, doesn't have the experience and all of that. And was that a hard journey for you, or were you able to navigate that quickly?
I think we already had a foundation in place in our family that made it easier because we were a homeschooling family. So she was home when we were trying to figure out what was wrong with her. We didn't have the extra complications of missing school and being behind on schoolwork and dealing with school administrations and nurses. We didn't have all that. So she was home, and I was able to help her finish her senior year of high school for the classes that she was taking that required reading because she couldn't read. It would give her massive migraines. She couldn't really focus for long periods of time. I would read aloud to her. So I would read her textbooks to her. She started school. Her path for college was never traditional. She intended to do community college, which is what we call junior colleges here in New England. So she was going to go 2 years and focus on photography, take a year off in the middle and go out west and attend a Bible immersion adventure program for a year, come back, finish up her last 2 years for her bachelor's at a slower pace and combine it with mission work. So that was her plan. So she went to school and I had to drive her because driving became almost impossible for her. There was times she wasn't in a wheelchair full time, but when we would go out on longer family excursions, she would very often take a wheelchair because she just couldn't physically walk. So I was driving her to school, waiting for her, driving her home, helping her navigate school. And it was challenging. It was really challenging. She had early morning classes, and for her, that was not okay. She could not wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning with mental clarity in order to go do a freshman math class. Just was a challenge. And she did academically very, very well, but it was a big, big challenge. So she started off with the full course load and then gradually dropped classes until she just doing the minimum to get by. And she was focusing on her photography classes because that's her love.
Yes. And you need that in treatment. You do need that love, that creative love.
You do. You have to feed, and especially with young adults, you have to focus as much on their mental health as you are their physical health, because we all know what this disease does to young adults when they lose hope. So that was always my primary goal of making sure, yes, she was in treatment and yes, we were helping to support her body, but is she happy? Is she feeling supported? Does she have hope? Does she see a future in this? Like, that's where our focus was. So, you know, I was totally fine with her taking one or two classes. I was okay when she said, "Mom, I don't know if this is my plan right now. We may have to shift." I said, "That's fine. There's a plan for you and we'll figure it out." So we were already in a place where helping her and helping her navigate the world the best that she could, it was already there. So that wasn't a challenge for us.
I love that so much, because you really took so much of these other burdens that young people have to deal with off of her shoulders, giving her the permission to have compassion for herself and prioritize the mental health that we, you know, we need to prioritize our mental health. And I think that's so wonderful that you really led with that example. I think that's so beautiful, because I know that the spirit, you know, takes a beating through the illness and the treatment. And that's the part that you really need to keep intact.
When we had met with our first Lyme doctor, he asked her what her plan was. And she said, "What I just told you." And she was planning to live at home and commute. And he said, "Okay, I'm comfortable with that, because you have your parents for support and you have supportive parents, and you are not living away from home and having to navigate your healthcare and management of your protocol on your own." And he told me something that I'll never forget. He said that very often when he's speaking to college age children and their parents, that they'll invest the money to bring them to the doctor and to get the testing and to get the protocol in place. But then they send them to college and it falls apart, because they're not able to eat healthy. They're not able to sleep well. They're not able to manage their course load and their medications and supplements and herbal protocols. They can't manage it all. And so he often would recommend to college age kids, if they were planning to go away, to put that on hold, to take a gap year and just focus on health and wellness, get in a really strong position, and then go to college. And what surprised me was the percentage of patients that pushed back against that and said, no, just give us the plan. My kid's going to college. They'll be fine. And they're not. So it was interesting to me. And I said, that was a red flag that, A, there was a lot more to come once this protocol started. And we really needed to be in tune with letting her lead and letting her body guide the decisions that we were making together.
100%. Yeah, you were listening. You knew he was telling you something just by saying that. Tell us about her protocol and what was working. You had mentioned earlier that thing, you kind of had hit a good spot and then everyone got COVID. So tell us, how was Grace being treated?
We tried the integrative approach for a year. So she did 9 months of various antibiotics, pulsing them, switching them up, interspersing them with supplements and herbs. And she just got sicker and sicker and sicker. Her hair fell out. She gained weight. Her skin turned a grayish color. Her hair is beautifully thick and golden, ashy blonde. It became dull and flat and half as much as she used to have. And every time we would go to the doctor, they would say, "Okay, we're going to switch this up. And next time I see you, you're going to feel so much better." 6 weeks would pass. Something else would happen. She would feel so much worse. And so she followed along with their plan as long as she could, until she reached the point where she said, "Mom, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this to my body. I don't like how I feel. I don't like how I look. And honestly, I've lost trust in what they're telling me, because I never feel good anymore." And so she was 19 and I said, "Fine, what do you want to do?" And she said, "I need a break." So we decided together to take a 3-month break, halt all of her treatment, focus on healing her gut. During that time, I did some reading. I figured I had to educate myself on other options that were available to us, because I didn't know, she was already chronic at this point. She's probably had this a long time. In fact, there's a piece of me that wonders if perhaps this could be congenital. when we pulled out the big guns of antibiotics, it was too much for her body. So we knew we didn't want to take that route. It didn't work for her the first time. She was very resistant to it. So I needed to educate myself about what other options were out there. And so my favorite book that I recommend to everybody that I read during that time was Unlocking Lyme by Dr. Rawls. And every page just resonated with me. I love the way he explains the differences between acute Lyme and chronic Lyme, the different ways to treat them and why, how your body reacts to different herbs and supplements and other accessory treatments that you can do to support the body. And so as I read this, I said, Grace, let's talk about this. I'd like to give this a try if you're open to it. And she said, sure, I'm in. So we started the Restore Kit, and I say we.
So when you say this, you mean Vital Plan, because for the listeners, Dr. Rawls is a medical doctor who had Lyme. He wrote this book, Unlocking Lyme. I have to tell you, Jessica, when my daughter got diagnosed and I hit the Google search, the first book that came up was Unlocking Lyme. Ended up being the first book that I read in this journey. Now, we still went the integrative route, but he had planted so many seeds in my head. So I was able to cut bait quickly because I had the background of Dr. Rawls in my ear. But he, Dr. Rawls, for the listeners, created his own herbal kit just based on the antimicrobial herbs that helped him overcome Lyme. So that is what Jessica's talking about. And just coincidentally, you and I are also both on Vital Plan herbs. So how did Grace respond to Vital Plan?
Her body responded beautifully. And I just wanted to clarify, I use the word we a lot, like we went on Restore Kit and she did. But what I did for her, because her brain fog was pretty substantial back then and managing that many capsules a day was a lot. So I used to count out her supplements for the day. Like I would organize everything in a week plan. And I still do that for her. So, you know, we have our pill organizers. I have organizers at this point. And every week I sit down and I lay them all out for the week for her. So when I say we, it's again, that partnership, but she was the one that was swallowing the pills back then. And her body loved it. Within 5 months, she had more energy. Some of those just nagging, nasty side effects from the other things that she was on started to go away. Her hair started to grow back. Her skin looked like a 20-year-old. You know, she looked healthy again. She was doing really well. And we were very excited by that. So she was on that for a little over a year. She started off at the full therapeutic dosing and then went down to the maintenance dosing. And that's where she was until last December when my whole family got COVID. Ironically, we were concerned about someone with chronic Lyme and what COVID may do to her. She handled it really well. Out of the four of us, now again, she was younger, as is my younger daughter. She was sick for a week, really sick for a week, but only a week. And I was expecting a long period of recuperation after that. And she bounced back pretty well. Like I think her immune system was primed to handle that at the time. But what happened is her energy never quite came back to where it was. And then she felt like physically, it was just hard to take that many supplements. She said, Mom, I know that it works and I'm trying to get back to that place that I was at, but my throat constricts when I think of having to swallow that many supplements. Now I don't know if I can do it. So we decided back in May, I was the lucky winner of a raffle at the Monster Inside Me movie premiere in Ridgefield, Connecticut. I was given 3 months of the full Cowden protocol. And I really feel like it was just the perfect time because she just asked if there were any other all herbal protocols that were tinctures instead of supplements. I walked away from that movie premiere with the first 3 months of the entire protocol available for her. So since May of this year, she has been doing the full Cowden protocol. And we just met with a Lyme literate naturopathic doctor for the first time today. So she hasn't been working with a doctor. The whole time she was doing the Restore Kit with Vital Plan, we were managing it on our own. Our regular naturopath was just doing her basic blood work panels, but we didn't feel the need to have a Lyme literate doctor at that time. But now, because we really want to get her back to the place that she was before, we decided to work with a Lyme literate doctor again.
I love that. It's interesting because it really does show how empowered you and Grace both became through the journey. And I think that's what the journey does to a lot of people, where you start realizing that a lot of these doctors, you know, they're not in tune with your body. And that's where Grace had to make the call. Like, I can't do these antibiotics anymore. And I've had to live a similar life with both of my kids of really getting in tune with them. And you start realizing, you know, what is the right path for your child? And I'm on Vital Plan. I put my son on Vital Plan. You know, we are working with an LLMD and I show him what we're on. And he's like, yeah, continue that. Okay, if it's working for you, keep doing it. But it is such a wonderful thing when you can step into your empowerment and make these decisions. Like, we're not doctors, we're not nurses, we're not naturopaths, but we have to make these really important decisions with our children. And that is a big growing moment. When was the time where you felt that empowerment? Is there a time in your life where you actually felt the shift taking place?
Yes. I want to encourage mothers who are going through this to remember, yes, we're not doctors and we're not naturopaths, but we become very educated through this process. We know far more than we ever thought we would know about holistic healthcare. And that information is really valuable because we have that and no one knows our children better than we do. So when you marry those two things together and you're working with a practitioner that supports your opinions and validates them, you are very powerful and you can make decisions and you don't have to second guess every step you make because you're walking in empowerment. And I think that's something that I didn't realize would happen. And I think when you're looking for positives in a situation where they can be really hard to find, that's one of the positives of having walked through chronic illness and continuing to walk through chronic illness. You grow in ways that you didn't expect, and you become empowered in ways that you never could have imagined. And that's how our nonprofit was started, because there was a day where I just felt like I couldn't find many positives. I couldn't see a silver lining in Lyme. It felt overwhelming. It felt scary and dark. And I said, you know, I need to do something to turn the situation and change this narrative into making it a blessing. And if it's not a blessing for us, then how can we make it a blessing for other people? And so that was very empowering because it gave me something to focus on other than her healthcare. And in the process, I continued my own education because I met so many people that were in different stages of their Lyme journey. I was connected with different doctors. I read different books. And during that, the birth of the nonprofit, it was amazing how it's a tiny nonprofit. It's still in its infancy.
So many people ask me today, what is the protocol for your kids now that they have recovered? And our biggest staple is Vital Plan herbs. I even use them for my treatment. It's the only thing I use to treat my Lyme and I feel amazing. I am so grateful for Dr. Rawls and his brand because Vital Plan herbs are clean, clean, clean. Because of this, my kids never experienced herxing. Low and slow is the name of the game here, and I successfully pulled my daughter off of antibiotics through the use of Vital Plan herbs. The herbs that we are on are in today's show notes, and you can also use my promo code for 15% off. It's simply VeryHappy15. That promo code again is VeryHappy15.
Tell us about your nonprofit. Tell us about like the name and introduce everybody to your beautiful nonprofit.
So I founded Partner in Lyme in March of 2020. We received our 501c3 just as the world was shutting down. And so that's how I know that this work was what I was meant to be doing, because there is no way in my own power I could have made all this happen. My background is in education. I was a teacher prior to homeschooling my own children for 10 years. I am not a nonprofit professional. I don't have that experience. So I had to learn all that as well. So we started the nonprofit by selling the sauna that we bought for Grace. So when her Lyme doctor said, "Do you have access to a sauna?" And I said, "No, but I can probably get one." So a friend of mine, her father was closing his medical practice and sold us the sauna for a very reasonable rate. We drove to Pennsylvania, picked it up, set it up, and she hated it. It caused her to herks. She felt awful, wouldn't use it. And I didn't want to force it on her. So it sat and I threw it on Facebook Marketplace and it sat and no one wanted it. And when I was talking to the tax advisor that helped me start Partner in Lyme, I asked him, "Okay, about how much does it cost for you to help me put this together?" And he said, "Well, I can do it for $1,000. And I thought, oh gosh, times were tough for us back then. I had a younger daughter who was dealing with her own health issues and some multiple surgeries that she was having at a hospital in Boston. My husband was between jobs. And I thought, okay, if it's meant to be, it will be. Not a half hour after I hung up with that tax advisor, Facebook Marketplace dings. Person in my neighborhood wanted to come and see it that day. And she said, "If I like it, will you take $1,000? I said, "Yes, yes, I will." So she came, she took it, she gave me $1,000. 2 days later, I met with a tax advisor. We created Partner in Lyme. And it's been kind of just growing and self-sustaining ever since. We have amazing donors from across the country that support us, support the work we're doing. We've assisted 27 people in their journey. We give financial assistance to people who are in treatment for tick-borne diseases. We let them spend the money on anything that falls under the umbrella of health and wellness. You know, we offer things like greeting cards, because I really, again, believe in sharing hope with people. So every month I send greeting cards. We do holiday hope bags in December, where we just source locally and deliver them to everybody and encourage them to keep strong in their journey. And, you know, we've done several kind of meetups through Facebook. When COVID shut down all of our opportunities to gather in person, we created opportunities to gather online. So it was amazing. Amazing beginning, very unexpected, very satisfying and fulfilling, because no matter where we are and what struggles we're facing, I know that we can also help other people in their struggles. It just puts it in perspective a little bit.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's kind of a way where you channeled some of the challenges, you know, with the Lyme diagnosis and the treatment into something so positive. What kind of advice would you give to the moms out there that are really in the thick of the struggle right now? But like, they're in their darkest days. What did you do during your darkest days?
I was surprised at how alone you feel when you have Lyme. People don't understand it. And I'm in Connecticut, where you would think people really understand it. They know of it, but they do not know the complexities of how to treat it. They do not understand that it's not covered by insurance, and they can't even guess at how expensive it is to treat. Even closest family members, because I think people naturally, when you're with people, you want to show your best side. So you're smiling and you might look good. And then they don't see that you might cry in the car on the way home because you're out of energy and you're in pain and you're tired, and they don't see that. So people don't understand really what life with Lyme, what living with Lyme is like. So I would encourage moms to find someone either in person or online that is in a similar situation, and preferably with children your age, so that you can have that relationship and talk to them. One of the biggest blessings that came from the Zoom outpouring of COVID was we started doing a coffee talk. You know, we figured everybody loves coffee. You go out with your girlfriends to have coffee and you chat and you catch up on life. So we had an online coffee talk where we would just bring our cup of coffee and we would Zoom with people from all around the country. And through that, I connected with two other moms, one in Chicago and one in Arizona, with children a little bit younger than mine, but still in the teen years. And even when life opened back up and people went back to work and that coffee group dwindled, the three of us still committed to meeting on Zoom every week. So whether it was Wednesday night or Thursday night, we spanned three time zones. So we usually made it later, as late as I could handle without falling asleep. Those women helped me in ways that they probably don't know. They encouraged me. They educated me. When I had questions or just when I needed to say, I'm having a really hard day or my daughter's having a really hard day, would you just keep us in your thoughts? I would just messenger them and immediately they would messenger me back. You got it. I understand. It's going to get better. You're not alone. We need that. And our spouses and partners can't always be that person for us. We need other moms that understand what we're going through, understand the worries that we're carrying, understand the stresses of the finances and the stresses that chronic illness places on a relationship, because it can be very stressful to a relationship. You need someone to communicate those things to.
I agree 100%. It's different, you know, with people that don't understand it. I always make connections quickly with other Lyme moms or PANS moms because it is a really challenging, complex journey that people really will not understand unless you're in it. There's a lot of grief involved. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of anxiety. And at the same time, you really have to show up empowered and positive in front of your child too, because I think it's been such a game changer in their own healing journey when you can really be a rock, a real solid rock. And it sounds like, you know, you were really able to do that for your daughter and at the same time, let her kind of lead and trust her. So that's really such a beautiful dynamic.
Thank you. It wasn't always easy and there were days that weren't always pretty, but I think she knows I tried my best and I'm still trying. She even said to me today on the way home from the Lyme appointment that I never gave up, that we just kept searching her whole life for different things, no matter what it was. We never gave up. We never accepted that it is what it is and you can live with it and it will get easier. Like that was something that I never allowed to live in me. I said, no, there's always answers. You have to search for root causes. And not every doctor has every answer, especially, you know, in the allopathic community where they're just focusing on their area of expertise. We go in expecting them to be able to cure us. We expect that it's going to be like Grey's Anatomy and they're going to just check you in and they're going to run every test and they're not going to settle until they've uncovered it. And that's not the reality of healthcare these days. So we just kept trying and kept searching and we still are. We're still searching. We're still looking for the, I don't want to call it a magic bullet, but we're still looking for whatever that answer is that's going to get her to the most healthiest place that she can be.
Right. Absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about you, because I know you and I both share this commonality of, for me, I have two children, you know, that diagnosed with tick-borne infections and Lyme and other co-infections. And, you know, you're living a similar story. And I actually think we messaged each other once where I was like, I'm starting to think my thyroid is Lyme. I'm starting to think my sketchy medical history of chronic illness and anxiety is Lyme. And lo and behold, I did test positive for Lyme and Bartonella, actually. And I am active infection. I'm not even past infection, you know, where that can come up in your blood work, where it could reveal that it was something that you had in the past and somehow your immune system had overcome it. But who knows how long I've been in active Lyme. Tell me about your story here.
Like you, I have a thyroid autoimmune condition. I have Graves' disease, which I was diagnosed with in my 20s, and I lived with it. It never really caused me great distress. It is what it is. And so I've had little things here and there, but nothing significant. I always thought I was overall pretty healthy. And I was, you know, I never really got sick. I thought I ate very well. I rarely drank, don't smoke. I was trying to do the things to keep myself as healthy as possible. When we all got COVID, that changed for me. I was sick and I got better, but not completely. And so little things were really irritating me. My short-term memory was horrible. my girls would tell me something, my husband would tell me something, and an hour later, it was like they never spoke to me. It was gone. I will never forget when we were in Florida in March, and I had a day where I was doing my hair, and it was falling out in clumps. And I broke down. I just cried. I said, Greg, look at this. This is not normal. This is something, if I was on a cancer regimen, I would expect hair loss like this. But what is going on? Why is this happening to me? It was horrible. My taste and my smell have yet to fully return. And I'm at 9 months post. And not only do I not have full taste or smell, I have taste and smell aversions. So all my favorite things, coffee, red wine, chocolate, anything with tannins, I can't stand. It makes me nauseous. I never had nausea in pregnancy, but I can imagine that that's what it's like. That's how strong my body's reaction to it is. So I don't have much of an appetite. And something was really puzzling when I would be driving down the highway, and I live right off of I-95, not a highway to be having health issues on, I would feel like I was leaning to the right. I felt like, even though I felt like my body was upright, I felt completely off balance. If I was going upstairs, I'd find myself leaning to the right and having to catch the wall or catch the railing. All these just things that just didn't quite make sense. During COVID, I noticed that my knees hurt a lot. But after COVID, when I would sit or stand, my knees would still hurt. They weren't swollen, but they would hurt. And I'm thinking, this looks a lot like Lyme. These things, the brain fog, the memory, the pain in my joints. I didn't know about the balance, but apparently that is classic Lyme. I didn't know it at the time. So I went to a chiropractic neurologist that my daughter is working with. And I figured maybe he could help me get my smell back because it's obviously brain connected. Maybe my balance is something he can work with. And he said that he definitely could help me, probably not get it back, but he could help me with some retraining things and some smell sensory training. I've done the essential oil trainings. It didn't work for me, but I tried. But what he did is he ran some blood work, and he was smart enough to know to test for Epstein-Barr and mycoplasma. And because he had Lyme once upon a time and he's in remission, it doesn't bother him. So he knows what to look for. And he said to me, he's like, well, these seem like Lyme symptoms. I said, oh, no, I don't have Lyme. And he just kind of looked at me. I'm like, I don't think I have Lyme. When the blood work came back and I saw how high my Epstein-Barr was and I saw how high my mycoplasma was, I thought, oh my goodness. So just for fun, I put it on Facebook, and most of my Facebook following are people in the Lyme community. And I said, what would you say if
hypothetically,
yeah, hypothetically, and it was Lyme, get tested for Lyme. You need a Lyme literate doctor. This is what you need to do. And I thought, well, I already know this, but I'm trying to use my Facebook as a platform to teach people who don't know about Lyme what to be looking for, because how many of us long COVID patients may not be long COVID. I personally believe that long COVID is just an umbrella term to throw on a person that they don't really know what's wrong with. If you're not looking for root causes, you could be a long COVID sufferer for a long time. So I firmly believe in looking for root causes. So I went to the Lyme doctor and we did the testing, and sure enough, I have 5 bands of Lyme. No co-infections popped up. So I'm not, as far as I know, I don't have Bartonella or Babesia or any of the other, you know, bees or other tick-borne diseases, but I do have the Lyme and the mycoplasma and the Epstein-Barr. So I went to my doctor when I made the appointment. I said, I already have a strong opinion on how I want to treat. So I really want to know, will she partner with me? And so I had met this doctor at the Lyme Bites Symposium, which is an amazing conference that was held for the first time this past May. Highly recommended. I believe they're going to be having it annually. It's worth the trip to Connecticut for. It was filled with practitioners who treat Lyme and focusing on Lyme and, so Lyme and PANS, Lyme and Parkinson's, like all these other kind of diagnoses that do have sometimes a root in Lyme. So I met the doctor and I said, if I test, I kind of knew that this was on my radar. I said, I want to work with this doctor. And so when I got the diagnosis, I already had the doctor in mind who I wanted to work with. She, like you, was completely open to me staying on or working on the Restore Kit. I brought it with me. She looked at it. She was familiar with it. She said, absolutely, but I'm going to add on a few things that I think we need to address for the other issues that you have going on. So I've been in treatment for just about 2 months, and you know, some things are better and some things are just going to take time because like you, I think I've had this my whole life. I wonder if I've given it to my children, and you know, that's kind of a lot for my mama heart to bear, but I know without a doubt that we'll get through this and we'll get our bodies as healthy as they can possibly be because we have an amazing toolbox to go into this. I know so much more now dealing with myself than I would have if I didn't have to go through this for the past 4 years with my daughter. So we're encouraged and I'm positive, but I'd be lying if I said it was easy. It's not. And it's not easy managing my own healthcare and my children's. It's an extra load that has to be carried and it can be hard.
It can be hard, but you have such a strong spirit. And I know you're going to be just fine and healed. So I really, truly, truly believe that. What would you say has been the biggest surprise that you've experienced through this whole journey, you know, through your daughter, through your online and the treatment and all of it? What surprised you the most?
I think how strong our family was when we needed to be. And I mean, the four of us, because when Grace was at her sickest, her sister was really impacted by that. Family vacations weren't what they normally were. We had to change our whole lives. And that affected her at a time when she was 15, 16. It impacted her. And it was frustrating at times for her, but it helped her develop empathy and compassion. It, in some ways, strengthened my relationship with my husband because we were just very unified in this. He doesn't do a lot of the medical stuff that I do. He doesn't read the books that I read. He doesn't do the protocol planning like I do, but he supports us 150% in everything. Every treatment we wanted to try, every doctor we wanted to go to, all the salt room visits and the massage therapy, everything. I said, we need this or she needs this. And he said, absolutely, we'll do what we need to do. We'll make it work. We'll take money from, we'll shift it around. We'll make it work. So we were very much united in that. And so I think collectively, the four of us just looked at this as something that wouldn't break us and it wouldn't detract us from building the family that I envision us. You know, I have this picture in my head of what I would like our family to grow into as we move into the adult stage of children. And I think young adult stage is really important because it sets the foundation for what's to come. And so I can see, and I do see, I read a lot of stories online about what other families are going through and how this can really drive wedges between siblings, between spouses and partners. And I just knew that that wasn't an option for us. We had to communicate well. We had to budget well. We had to really be united in this because what affected one daughter affected us all. And now that there's multiple people involved with Lyme, it affects us all even more profoundly. So we have to be very united in this.
Yes. And that you are. So beautiful. Jessica, thank you so much for sharing your beautiful story with me and my audience today. I can't thank you enough. It's such a beautiful story.
Thank you. I hope it gives encouragement to people that are out there, and not to plug the nonprofit, but I am always available through emailing or social media to connect with people, to have that exchange over email or Facebook or Instagram so that someone knows that they're not alone, and to help connect them with people in their local community. So thank you, because we can't do this alone. You can't do this alone. I can't do this alone. But together we can do so much, whether it's advocacy or, you know, financial assistance or just the support of one friend to another, prayer for our children. All of these things we can do. We can lift each other up. And someone said to me recently, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships, and we are those ships, and we can lift each other through this. We can celebrate the successes that come from treatments, and we can understand and empathize on the downturns or the relapses or the days that are just really hard. So I'm grateful for this opportunity to share our story and to hopefully, I don't know, maybe give a clue to other people that might be walking in the same post-COVID situation that we're in. You know, maybe they'll see some of my story in them, and hopefully it might help them get on a path of healing and health and wellness as well.
100%. And we will put everything in the show notes so people can connect with you directly, as well as learning more about Partner in Line. So thank you so much, Jessica, for all that you do, not just for your family, but for the community, for the world. I thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. If you felt inspired, please submit a review. More reviews help others find Very Happy Stories. And don't forget to subscribe and share this with someone else you know who could use a very happy story right about now. Until next time, have a happy day.
Said that the more time you have to invest, the greater the return. Well, guess what? Kids have the most time if we learn to invest early. That's why I created the Cash Kid Podcast, where I teach kids and some adults financial skills they need to know on how to earn, save, and invest their money. Join me on this journey as we interview experts and explore topics that allow you to grow your money as kids. This podcast will help you become the money expert among your family and friends. Just remember, anyone can be a cash kid. You just have to learn how to become one. Get ready to grow your financial knowledge and your wallet with the Cash Kid Podcast.